Remember any of these names? Mehdi Bazargan, Sada Gubzada, Shapur Bakhtiar. Well, probably not. But they're the names of people who took power briefly in Iran during the tumultuous transition between the departure of the Shah in January of 1979 and the arrival of Ayatollah Khomeini scarcely 2 weeks later. We spoke with Daniel Pipes, director of the Middle East Forum, about whether the transition in Egypt could look anything like Iran back in 1979.
It was a period of some weeks between the time that the Shah left and Khomeini returned. And what one saw there was a complete change of regime. The institutions changed, the ideology changed, the ways of life changed. The great question in front of us in Egypt is whether that will be replicated or whether the old regime will manage to discard some baggage, such as Hosni Mubarak himself, and continue, or whether it too will be brought down. What is in front of us in Egypt, I don't know, of course, but I'm inclined to think it's more like a coup d'etat than a revolution.
And that would argue that it's more like, say, Romania, for instance, in 1989, which, replaced Ceausescu, but maintained a very much dictatorial control over the economy and the government for many, many years.
The ultimate power broker in Egypt is the military. The military staged a coup d'etat revolution, call what you will, in 1952, and has ever since been in power. Gamal Abdel Nasser, Anwar Sadat, Hosni Mubarak are all men of the military, and the military retains a very large role in public life, economic life included. And is the military determined? Is it solid? Is it going to continue to control Egypt, or will it give way? That is, I think, the ultimate question. It's not about Hosni Mubarak anymore. It's about the military.
You know, the voices in the street that became the Islamic Revolution in Iran can be compared with these voices in the street, secular voices in the street, sort of demanding freedoms in Egypt. But before those voices could actually emerge into the government, in Iran, the army had to be jettisoned, the bureaucracy had to be jettisoned, huge institutions of long standing in Iran had to be toppled. Are we going to see that process in Egypt?
It's certainly possible. The leading Islamist force in Egypt are the Muslim Brethren, the Muslim Brotherhood, who have been repressed almost as long as the military have been in power since 1954. They have been savoring the moment. They've been waiting for a time like this. Surely they're going to make a play for power. Were they to reach power, they would presumably affect a change no less deep than one saw in Iran 30 years ago.
You know, looking back at models, you've talked about the revolution in 1952 in Egypt. We've talked about the Iranian revolution in 1979. Perhaps a more attractive but frightening comparison would be the upheaval that gave Algeria its independence and the struggles and transitions that followed that war. Describe the Algeria situation as being analogous here.
Well, Algeria, there was a massive revolt against the French in the 1950s, culminating in the 1962 departure of the French. But I'd be more inclined to look at Algeria in 1991-92, when there was a widespread rejection of the longtime military regime. And in the end, by virtue of some deft maneuverings, the old guard, the military, and its allies retained power, and it remains in power until today, 20 years later. That's the alternative to Iran, that they make a certain number of changes and they stay in power. That's what I'm more likely expecting in Egypt.
Although to push back there, deft maneuvering you describe, but some would say a suppression of a democratic movement that was Islamist and could have taken power, but was pushed back with the tacit sort of help of the United States. It doesn't increase our credibility in Egypt if that's the scenario.
What you're pointing to is a very deep problem for U.S. foreign policy, which is that we are democratically minded. Democracy has been our career now for a century, since Woodrow Wilson and at the time of World War I. But at the same time, we have a problem with the democratic forces in the Muslim world, which tend to be Islamist. So, yes, this is a conundrum.
How well do you think Obama is doing facing this conundrum? He's already established a goal that there needs to be meaningful change and needs to happen now.
So far, I get a sense of confusion from the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton is on record as saying that she's friends with the Mubaraks and they don't quite know what they're doing. I think it would be well advised for the Obama administration to find what its views are. What I would suggest is, yes, adopt democracy as our goal, but slowly. The great problem of George W. Bush was he wanted it fast. And when you do it fast, the only alternative to the military are the Islamists. And if you do it slow and protracted way, not months, not years, but decades, then I think one has the possibility of a maturation of civil society, which will lead to a favorable outcome for those countries and for ourselves.
It's Daniel Pipes, director of the Middle East Forum, helping to explain what we might be seeing in Egypt, call it a transition, call it what you will, over the next coming months.